So I am back with another installment here, and I want to complete the Mercury through the signs that I started a couple of weeks ago, maybe 7 days ago, who knows? There's so much going on in the world. I tend to be very observant and analytic when it comes to world events, so I get rather lost in it and want to do the astrology on it and the geopolitical implications of it, because it does and it will affect our world more and more each day. But I wanted to continue on Mercury through the sign, so I'm going to pick up at Mercury from Mercury through Libra through Pisces. My last podcast was Mercury from Aries through Virgo. So let's bomb through these, and then I'm going to do some comments on current things going on that are extremely important. And I think in one of my podcasts, a couple of podcasts ago, I said, you know, it may have been on my Instagram page, Cat Astro Insights. I put, you know, if you think things are busy now and filled with so much stuff in the world, with so many things going on at once, it's going to get worse. It's going to get more intense. And it has gotten that way. I think we can all see that if we're in any way dipping into the news and what is going on every day. So I'll wrap that up toward the end. But let's start with Mercury in Libra. Mercury in the sign of Libra, I would say that there are many ways it can express itself, and some are in line with what would be expected of the Libra process in terms of the attribution, diplomatic, sometimes overly ingratiating themselves, Libra folks, things, people with a lot of planets in Libra to others if they're in more of a social setting or a political setting. But Libra, ultimately, in my view, and I think it has been described by many astrologers over decades and decades and aeons, you know, it is a it's a social sign. It's the social sign ruled by Venus, unlike Taurus, which is more internal and self-focused, which is ruled by Venus. In Libra, you know, there's politics, there's social notoriety, there's social influencer. These are the elements that create what would be called, in today's parlance, social influencers. So Mercury in Libra is very geared toward making an impression, and they're savvy in the sense that they want to make the right impression immediately. And it is true, many tests, psychological tests, as well as just regular personal everyday things that have gone on with people. If you have Mercury in Libra or a lot of Libra in your chart, primarily the personal planets, which are the closest to the sun. You know, you want to make an impression, and you want to influence, and you want to delegate, and you want to negotiate, and you want to manipulate. Libra is far more of a subtle manipulator and a far more elegant manipulator than anything in Capricorn. Capricorn is more like, you know, blunt trauma to the head or anvils or, you know, really, really gutsy in your face type stuff. Whereas Libra slowly works its way into charming you or getting you into a place where, you know, you're sold, basically. Oh, this is good. It's beautiful. It's packaged well. It's, you know, it to me, it's far more connected to advertising and any kind of like K Street lobbyists and people that have to really sing for their supper and enjoy doing it. There are many people that have influence and drive and power that are not in this category. They tend to have more of the Aries, Scorpio, Capricorn setups. Libra is, you know, I'm going to wine you and dine you, and I absolutely love it because it's a great dinner and we're all great looking and fabulous, and so it's just all going to work. And it is. It's far more persuasive than, you know, sort of hitting the hammer over somebody's head, which is more the Aries, Scorpio, and Capricorn way. Or they have something on you because there's no finesse in that process. Scorpio, of all of them, you know, I wouldn't say finesse is their word, nor their safe word. But I would say that more threats, hidden threats, veiled threats, beautifully articulated threats are more that way. Capricorn is more blunt force trauma. And Aries is almost too honest to be, you know, to even be in a business where you're trying to persuade. They're right out there with it. If they have the power to initiate what they want, then they will win. But Libra is more of, you know, I'm going to make the sun so warm that you're going to just have to take that coat off, even down at the beach. It's going to be so great. You're just, oh, okay, whatever. It's sort of a wearing down, but in the most beautiful and Venusian type of way. So Mercury and Libra folks, you know, they are in their own way trying to influence you, persuade you, cajole you, bring you into their scene, do something that, you know, really, you know, continually manipulates the process in a way where you're just kind of worn down by the graciousness and the incredible amount of energy they put into persuading you, which is really amazing. I mean, people that are more Taurian and Aries, again, Scorpio, Capricorn, more earthy are like, oh God, so much energy into this, but they really enjoy doing this. Like one, I believe, Barbara Walters is a Libra. And just as an example, not on her personally speaking, her career or anything, but she's the kind of person that, you know, I want to get into people's life and be a journalistic guru. She was kind of one of the first. And, you know, what are they really thinking about? What are they feeling? I want to really persuade them to talk about themselves. And she was she did it beautifully. I mean, she was just the most articulate and most diplomatic, and her delivery in terms of questioning all of this would never, even in her early years of doing this, be considered blunt force trauma like Capricorns do or Aries or Scorpio. So if you even look back on some of her even early interviews, I would say that as an example of how Libra can bring you out and persuade you to speak about yourself, because they do, you know, they definitely do flatter. They're flatterers. I mean, they are the flatterers of the zodiac. They flatter themselves a lot more, but they will flatter you. And flattery will get you pretty much everywhere, except if you're someone who is aware of that and doesn't want to buy into it or has no reason to do that or no incentive to do that. But she, you know, she flattered, but she balanced it again with the Libra energy. So Mercury in Libra is really all about, how can I, in a most articulate, sophisticated way, make you do what I want you to do? That's really the bottom line. And they make great lawyers. Because, you know, whether they're defending or prosecuting, they're talking people into things. That's pretty much their job with Mercury there. Mercury is the talker, the thinker, the communicator. And Libra is going to talk you into it. And they're going to take breaks when they need to. They're not going to, you know, overly do things in the sense where you're exhausted. If they can sense when you are, you know, you've had enough and, oh, let's have some tea. You know, they always want to have an elegant presentation or communication. That's their thing. And I'm saying this in connection with Mercury and Libra, but I also mean that in terms of people that have a lot of Libra set up in their chart, sun or moon, primarily personal planets. Outer planets like Uranus and Libra and Pluto and Libra, which are the people born in the early 70s and that period of time, their cajoling or their ability to influence is a little more collective. It's not as personally felt every single day in the jobs they're doing or what they're doing. But they do have a very good canny sense of, you know, how to move things around. They are truly the diplomats of the zodiac. So Mercury there makes very good negotiators, diplomats, people that can balance things and, you know, flatter and not flatter when they need to, and, you know, kind of give a sense of intensity when they need to sort of put their velvet glove hammer down, whatever you want to call it. That's a terribly bad mixed metaphor, but that's how they are. And the best thing that they can really derive from the experience of having this planetary signature is to, as much as possible, if they have a good idea, make sure it's honest and they deliver it in an honest way. I mean, they may believe in something. They're not always the true believer types, but they may feel like this would be good for people. You know, they're a little bit of the, you know, transforming type because they are a cardinal sign and, you know, they want people to live a more stylish, elegant lifestyle, less problems, less intensity of, you know, toil and work and all this. They think work can be really fun if you love what you're doing. And they do produce those things. They do communicate those things to people, and it can be. But not everybody is skewed that way. There are setups in astrological blueprints, as I call them, where people are into their work thing or their imprinted childhood where it's just work, work, work. And, you know, if you come upon interacting with the Mercury and Libra types or Libra signatures in a chart, a lot of it, they're not into a lot of heavy work and lifting. They're into, I can persuade you, work can get done, and you can also have a drink at the end of the day, enjoy your life, and have a nice sleep. They're really very persuasive in how they handle things. And they do have a good sense of diplomacy. And their intent generally is very balanced, and they want everybody to enjoy and live their life in a balanced way, whatever thing they're doing. This includes their family, their professional life, other things. But it's not for everybody. And when they're selling things or doing things that are really extraneous and not really important, or somebody can do without them, then people that do not want to get involved in the frippery, which is a fabulous word. I love that frippery. The, you know, just the puffery of what they may be offering. They could just shut it down and say, it's not for me. That's really all that has to happen. But they do enjoy living a more intellectual, elegant life, or if they're into lifestyles or certain things, they do enjoy sharing those. And they may be very good for them, but they don't have to oversell. When they start overselling, it becomes almost grotesque, depending on what they're into. It's just too much. And they should learn to balance the persuasiveness of their life or what they feel is good, the elegance of it, because it's always, again, Venusian driven. So there's diplomacy and there's, you know, fabulous ways in which they communicate it. I mean, you know, it's hard to resist kind of thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, it may not be for you. So Mercury in Libra, they tend to go into diplomatic things, lawyers, selling things, advertising, fabulous in advertising. They know just how to deal with customers and clients. And they are very good at ascertaining what the group wants, the collective group, the client wants. They're very good. And they're very good at keeping them at the table before they cut and run. The only thing I would emphasize with this position, Mercury in Libra, is endeavor to be honest. Endeavor to be honest in how you're persuading and even if you're, you know, they can't help but manipulate. I mean, it's just sort of in their bones to get people on their side. We'll leave it at that. It's a rather harmless concept. But be honest. Be more honest with yourself rather than trying to push honesty on others. You know, you may see somebody go, well, you could use this and you can use that and, you know, this would be good for you. And, you know, it's more physician, heal thyself. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Look at what you're doing. And I don't mean that on a physical, superficial level. I mean it on every level. You know, look at yourself first and then endeavor to convince others. So that's really the only thing. They're very good. They're articulate. They tend to be more on intellectually trying to be communicate to people. And they do a good job about it. There's self-observation there with Libra. They do self-observe. The air signs, when they're aware of more things in who they are and go within and check in who they are, they're far more observant of their thoughts and their actions than water, earth, and fire. I that's my experience with it. When they do that, when they're not doing that, they're creating cults, they're creating businesses that, you know, may fall apart, you know, in a week or a month or a year. There's a lot of, you know, that word again, frippery and puffery. They need to look at themselves. So it's not about being, you know, having intent that is to disguise. It's more, this is just great. I feel great. It's a Venusian process. So that's Mercury in Libra, and that can pertain to many aspects of life. So we go to Mercury in Scorpio, completely different thing, as I've said many times. When you deal with the elements, with the signs and the elements, it's almost always that I find, in terms of connections with people, where they marry or they're lovers or they're friends or whatever, it's always more the elements that connect the harmony with people in a marriage or a partnership of any kind, or a group collective partnership, than the signs. The signs, the attributes, yes, they're strong in terms of connections and synastry and compatibility, but the elements are the things that really resonate in terms of connection. So Mercury in Scorpio is I'm just going to put it right out there. This is the home for the investigator, the private eye, the one who digs, the fantastic pathologist in medical areas, the surgeon that is probably would be more inclined to do psychiatry, not necessarily therapy and counseling. They're not into holding people's hands in that way or, you know, giving them a pass. Psychiatry, like real in-depth medical degree and a degree that you're able to really dig in and actually apply very specific psychiatric methods to your clients. So they want to go for all of it. They're more the evangelists. They tend to promote cults and dogmas and intense fervency in, if they're involved in religion or processes with the soul in some way. Many yogis and people that even came over to America in the 70s and earlier were very intense and very into their spiritual practice. And these are Mercury and Scorpio types. They're also detail-oriented. They will find out any problem or any area that is not completed or articulated perfectly. They can be sucked in, however, to the persuasiveness of extremities from other people. So that is their Achilles heel. They can be. A lot of that would be more in the area of non-intellectual activities. Intellectual activities are scholars, teachers, yes, lawyers as well, but that's rather tedious for the Mercury and Scorpio type. They're more private eyes. They're more investigators. They're more the people on the ground that are digging in. They're like I would say like a Philip Marlowe, like a, you know, sort of a movie. If you want to give it a Hollywood thing, it's more of the sort of, we're going to dig in to see what really happened here. And, you know, these are also people that deal with mortality. They're morticians. They're people that can give incredibly great knowledge because they have specific scientific information, how somebody was murdered or killed or died. They're incredibly good at those types of jobs and professions. In philosophical endeavors, they will go very, very deep. Not everything works for them. You know, they're more like a Martin Luther and the Reformation, very fervent in what they do. So whatever they involve themselves in with a Mercury Scorpio type, it's going to be all or nothing for them. There's no middle ground for these people. And it's good to try to help themselves to create a middle ground in some way, in relationships, in marriages, in partnerships, in business relationships. You know, they tend to be the ones that just drive you crazy because they're trying to get the kernel. What is really going on here? Don't give me the outside story. I want to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes there is no deeper. It just is what it is. And that's where they have to let go. They have a very hard time letting go. Mercury in Scorpio is not totally inclined to more, you know, emotional, I can't let go of you. They are inclined to mental and intellectual obsessiveness, which can bring a tremendous amount of emotional anguish for them, for which they may get psychiatric or counseling help, which I would recommend if they get to that point. But, you know, they are diggers. They dig deep into why something happened and how the process worked. Fixed sign, Scorpio, I'm going to take this from point A to wherever it takes me until I find exactly what happened. They're intrepid. They go on and on and on. And that's how they are with the Mercury and Scorpio types. If there are, again, as I've said before, if there are things that's blocked or oppositions or squares to that Mercury and Scorpio signature, then there may be pitfalls and restrictions and stop-start type of things and not as pure as the way it could be expressed. And, you know, in any chart, I very rarely anybody finds what you would call the pure type where nothing is being aspected. The whole point of a chart when you're coming in, when you're setting your tone, your frequency in your life, is that it is the science of relationships. There are all kinds of aspects going on. If Mercury in Scorpio in your chart happens to not be aspected by anything, and you should check where it is in what house it's in, then, you know, you're more the pure type. You're not going to be impeded as much. You're not going to be as blocked by other people with what you want to convey. So you're lucky in that way. You kind of are able to kind of go through it. I find a lot of Mercury and Scorpios, you know, they can be fervently involved with religion or dogma, and ancient religion, more modern religions, regular Judeo-Christian type religions and offshoots. And they're most definitely drawn to cults where there's a rigid system. It's interesting because Scorpio, of course, is a water fixed sign. Water, you know, everybody looks at that. Oh, water, you know, it just moves through anything and it's cool and groovy and anything goes. Well, Scorpio water is not that way. Scorpio is going to go, why is what's going on with this stream, with this river? There's scum on it. There's dirt. They go into the muck of things. And there's beauty in that because there's a lot of incredible life connected to it, even in the muck and the dirt. But they're going to dig in and dive in. And that's why if they involve themselves as, you know, the creators of cults or things of this type of thing, whether it's religious or philosophical or it's just political, it could be anything. There are all kinds of cults. They will go the limit. They will go to the end. Everything is going to be extreme. the key here for Mercury in Scorpio is to check yourself when you're going into the extreme mode of something. You should value it if you're learning things that are valuable to you or others, but check yourself if you're going way off the track, because it's, you know, you've got the water element in the most extreme emotional fixed type of situation with Scorpio. It isn't like Cancer or Pisces. Cancer is the cardinal sign. It's geared to huge, large activities, whether it's in their personal life or in their personal and professional life. You know, they're not obsessing over every single scintilla element going on. Pisces is very diffused. They're universal in their viewpoint. Scorpio is locked on, and it's water locked on, like a dam being blocked up into their world and their reality. And so they must watch out for the extremities of intellectual extremity, emotional extremity, and physical extremities, which they tend to live out at least for a little while, hopefully in the earlier years, and they can get over it. You know, they want to live it out. You know, that's it. Cancer wants to kind of act it out in a big way, and Pisces wants to just diffuse and be cosmic around it. So that's the Mercury in Scorpio type. They need to be careful. They're certainly very, very valuable in their contribution. They're intrepid. They're fabulous. I think they make the greatest private eyes and people that look for, dig in the dirt. They don't mind digging in the dirt. They don't mind at all. There are many other people that just don't even want to see the dirt. Theirs is like, bring on the dirt. I can see it. I can tell you what it is. And they don't have this big, horrible reaction to it. They just, it is what it is. So that's the Mercury in Scorpio type. As they apply it to any lifelong profession or family life, they should just be aware to balance out those energies and get help if they need it, you know, counseling or something. So we're going on to Mercury in Sag. Completely different thing than Scorpio. We're going into a fire sign. Mercury and Sag, they are the visionaries. They are usually generally very, very optimistic in all of their endeavors. They go in with an optimism, which I truly admire. And I have there's a joyfulness about Sagittarius. They're, even if it's Sun or Mercury or Moon, more of the personal planets, because the outer planets deal with more of the collective energy. You're involved with groups. It's not just about you. When you pass Saturn, after the Saturn, wherever your Saturn is in your chart, you're now really involved in more of a collective experience of energy and what happens in your life in the world. In Earth life, 3D, very limited. But in this, or, you know, however you view your existence. I mean, you could be in the Matrix, whoever, and, you know, whatever, with Keanu Reeves and the rest of them in there, which is a truly fantastic film franchise in explaining all of this. I think it's one of the better ones, quite frankly. But Mercury in Sag is a visionary, and they do reach out to their own humanity and with tremendous optimism and tremendous, the beauty of naivete in many ways, because it sky's the limits for them, which is great. I mean, you know, if you're going to do anything, you have to start out with a giant, giant goal, just like making an offer on anything or accepting an offer. It's got to be big. If you want to sell something, you always go above the price so that you're, you know, you have to kind of negotiate down. That's kind of the way they are. But they will go the limit. They have a great sense of vision. They just have to know when others are saying you've gone way over the limit. If it's in a professional sense, and Mercury in Sag in their maybe smaller home life and their influence in that way, where it's just too much, where you're implementing rules and regulations and philosophically the way people should live. It's not like a dogma where, you know, it's like I hate to use a lot of pop references, but I do. It's kind of easy in that way, but like Footloose, that old movie, and, you know, there's a dogma, you can't dance, you can't, I mean, that's just so banal, the whole concept of it is ludicrous, but it's that kind of thing where we have this incredible philosophy, whether it's about our family dynasty, or who we are, what our business is, and we have to follow these rules, and we have to philosophically embrace them, and have joy around them, and love them. And it's great. They're doing the joy dance, the happy dance, but not everybody's wanting to hook up with that kind of, you know, frequency or energy pattern. So Mercury in Sag has to, you know, I wouldn't say lower your expectations. I would just say be aware that if you're operating in the world and you're not a spirit entity and you're operating in limitations of gravity in 3D, that your vision can, you know, be curtailed, or it can be limited, or it can be stopped by enemies. Be aware that not everybody's going to sign on to the happy train. You know, they're going to throw, you know, concerns at you. They're going to throw, well, maybe this would be the better way to go. But the vision is great if they're honest about it and what they can offer, the Mercury and Sag person. And there is a beautiful, wonderful general sense of optimism about life that comes with that Mercury signature in Sagittarius. It is truly, it's just hope that exists there. It's a hope, and it's a hope with intention to actually produce the vision that one has envisioned. And that is worth a lot. But they do need others. They can't just create it on their own. I mean, if they're preachers, or they're preaching dogma, or different kinds of ways, lifestyle living, they're definitely into lifestyle type stuff, which seems to be what's going on now. I mean, nobody can go to these big giant companies anymore and, you know, sign on and go, I'm going to be here 30 years and get a gold watch. I mean, that's completely gone. I mean, I don't know what country does that, including non-Western countries. It really is make it or break it. It's pretty, you got to really move fast to get what you want, because we are now in AI. We are now in a huge technological quantum leap, where the old ways of doing things, in terms of the plottingness of understanding, the plottingness of results, is impossible, because people that are, you know, more on the wavelength of moving ahead technologically are creating results immediately. And we have to blend our humanity with the technology. That is our biggest trial and our purpose. Humanity has to blend the technology with the humanity. And it is very hard, because technology is easy, it's interesting, it's instant, it's wow, it's fun, it's like we don't have to wait around. And essentially, as spirits, we do not have to wait. That's why we respond to technology so well. There is no way that the soulic process and the spiritual process, as many, many Indian and other oriented people and gurus have said for centuries, spirit does not have to wait. Patience is certainly important, but the essence, the God immanent, is already there. What you envision has already happened, and it is truly effective when you understand that. It's just you're dealing with releasing it into a 3D gravity oriented limited space frequency called Earth space, unless you have transcended that and gone to, you know, the most high sense of nirvana, and you're not necessarily in that sense operating in the real world, because we have things that are here that have to be done. But yes, we need to blend humanity with technology. And there are many people trying to do this that have worked and promoted technology. It is difficult because, you know, humanity hardly understands that, you know, wars aren't very effective. Killing each other isn't really effective to the human spirit and to even being, who we are as people, as souls. We're still doing that. That's very medieval. It's even below medieval. It's Neanderthal. I mean, it's not even something that in many respects, the essence of technology can even understand, or spirit, because it just doesn't add up. It's like, why are you self-sabotaging all the time? So the combination of those two, getting back to Mercury and Sag, is, you know, I see the vision, I have the vision, I want the vision, let's like ground the vision, let's make it happen in the earth, in earth time, in earth frequency. And they are great at that. They need to be checked by those that are living in and understanding the ramifications of restriction. And, you know, as a great, wonderful guru, who I will not say the name, said one time to me that there is nothing, one of my teachers, there is nothing perfect on the physical plane. The perfection lies in your perception of the perfect. It is not perfect from its own level of being, in the sense of, you know, this is it. This is all there is. This is nirvana. This is samadhi, whatever you want to call it. So Mercury and Sag needs to understand that there needs to be goals, and they need to be marked, and they need to be measured. And others can help them with that, but they are great at launching the vision, and they're great at promoting and keeping the vision. And again, what I say is, there must be honesty in the vision. Not just, I love it, so everybody else has to love it. It has to go beyond that in terms of service to human beings and to humanity. So now we're going to move on to Mercury and Capricorn. And again, here we are dealing with, we're dealing with a complete antithesis of Mercury in Sagittarius. Mercury in Capricorn is, you know, on the most mundane rung of the ladder, which is the bottom, basically. You know, they're accountants, they're CPAs, they're realists, they're agents, they're people that get things done because they know how to work within limitation. Capricorn, of all the signs, of all of the zodiacal attributions, they view limitation and restriction accurately and immediately, and they know, what can I do within this to make this work and to make this happen? So they're your friend. They really are your friend. As mundane and possibly pessimistic as they can be, and Mercury in Capricorn is a rather pessimistic signature generally. And by pessimism, I mean they're not dour all the time or angry or sad. It just means that they have so much reality built into that Mercury in Capricorn signature that anybody coming to them with some pie in the sky thing, of course they're like, they want to be like Mercury in Pisces or something, like they want to give, they want to be that wonderful being that just lives in dreams. You know, they desire that. That's the compensatory nature of their being, because they always are just completely skewed to realistically ascertaining a situation and realistically seeing what's done. Realistically, what can you do? So they're dealing constantly with people that are telling them, God, you got to get out of that limitation, that box of, you know, realistically, this is what can and can't happen because all of these factors are in our way and impeding us and obstacles. You know, they're constantly dealing with pie in the sky people, which drive them crazy. I can do this. I can do this. And you know what? Maybe they can. And that's the challenge for Mercury and Capricorn people. And the challenge is really for them. You know, it depends on what their dreams are in terms of how far they can go. But their view of how far they can go and how they get there is always tethered to measurable goals, to this is what we do, this is how it works, and this is how I'm going to get around this. And they're very, very good at that. They make great mentors and agents and people like that because they see the obstacles that those they have to deal with and inspire and work with do not see. They see them. They see them so much, it just makes them crazy. They're so aware of how real 3D and gravity and limitation is and restriction as to what can be done. They see that so much that they're like Houdini, trying to work their way out of the water box, the water chains, and come up for air. And the most creative Mercury and Capricorn types will do this. And they really have to stretch their imagination. And imagination is not a word that you attribute to anybody who has a Mercury and Capricorn signature. No way. They are realists. They are the realists of the zodiac. And they have to stretch that imagination so far for their client or whomever they're working for. And they're generally servants. If they're not servants, they're more like an Al Capone type who had Sun in Capricorn where, you know, I'm just going to beat my way into the top. I mean, if he had had an education, he probably would have had a pretty somewhat legal career and would have been incredible as a CEO. But he had no opportunity for that. But he certainly was smart. The guy was not dumb. He had definitely what psychiatrists would call frontal lobe issues because his emotional awareness of people in terms of empathy was obviously constricted and obviously stunted and shrunken, which is where all that exists. But in terms of how he went around everything, he really did, take an opportunity and use it for his benefit during the prohibition days in America. I mean, he was the biggest one, and he did it in a sense that was truly the most absolutely mundane expression of Capricorn. But it doesn't mean he was not smart. With Mercury in Capricorn, and it is, you know, they see the obstacles first and then they deal with people that are going, why is that an obstacle? Why is that an obstacle? Let's make it not. And so it's good for them to be around people with a lot of vision and a lot of imagination. And that includes in their home life, it includes in their professional life, it includes anything they do that they feel a sense of, you know, I need to do this. You know, they're really good at getting people out of a box. Sometimes they do it legally. Sometimes they don't do it legally. You know, it's illegal depending on what country you live in. And I'm talking strictly about 3D. It's best for them to be honest if they can be most of the time. I can see where with the Mercury and Capricorn types, there is an element of manipulation of others. And they're good. They're very good at it. They're just like Libra. They're a cardinal sign. They're very good at it. But they don't do it with persuasion. Again, it's more of, you know, I'm painting you into a corner and you know it. Libra does not work that way. They're far more elegant, far more Venusian driven. Capricorn is Saturn driven. It's this or not or nothing. You know, they give you a ultimatum. But they're very good at that. And it is a cardinal sign, so it's an action sign. But I would say with Mercury and Capricorn that there's a tremendous amount of ability in any profession chosen in their home life, depending on what parent you are, the active parent, the more feeling parent, you know, people take on roles like this. If you're in a commune, you've got many parents going on, which can be very confusing. I know many people that went through that, it's good in some ways, but it can be confusing. But they do take on more of the realistic, laying down the law type of energy that they provide for mentoring or for people that are younger than them. But you know, they are very much geared toward, you know, giving you the facts of things. If you are a client or if they love you or if they care for you or whatever, whatever it is. And they need to be very careful not to get into areas where they're just making a lot of money or acquiring, which is a Capricorn thing, acquiring things. And it can wind them up in very big, bad situations, whether it's, through, you know, self-sabotaging or through illegal and very nefarious activities. They need to be very careful of that. But there's a lot of, you know, gift there. There's a lot of talent there. So we'll move on to Mercury in Aquarius. Now, we're hitting an air sign, a fixed air sign. And Mercury in Aquarius, you know, they're similar, very similar to Sun and Venus in Aquarius. They are all about what kind of ideas and creative things I can do to progress the race or to do things that help others. They're definitely, again, into the service of humanity. There's some way in their life, whether it's an extended family beyond their own bio family, a created family, family they're born into, where they can help through their ideas and through their particular types of activities and humanitarian concerns, where they can really dig in and help people. And then there's a double side to this, just like everything else. Some of these folks with Mercury and Aquarius, they create cults around them. They're so interesting and so different and so completely out of the realm of the norm at whatever age they live in, whatever time, that they're so interesting, you know, they're novel, that, you know, people flock to them for their ideas. They think they're like the, you know, like going to some sort of sacred site in Egypt or something, and they have these great ideas. And, you know, they might have great ideas, but they're human. They're not gods. And so they get a lot of followings and influencing and memes and whatever it is. And suddenly they're a prisoner of their own PR and a prisoner of their own celebrity. So there's a lot of these types that get caught up in that with Mercury and Aquarius, because they're always thinking, they're always having ideas. They just do it. They do it naturally. They love it. It's just part of who they are. And then people dig it, and they dig them, and they're social beings, and they're out there, and they're expressing, or they're writing, or they're talking, or they're giving their opinion. And with a fixed sign Aquarius, yeah, they want everybody to have their own thoughts, but they're certainly going to make their thoughts known. Because again, it's fixed. You know, fixed air is an odd combination. Air blows around. It's everywhere. Air is just air. And in a fixed sign air, it's like, you know, I'm delivering this big shot of oxygen to you and through a tube that you're going to get. It isn't just airy-fairy and anybody does what they want and we can all have our own thoughts and nobody has any focus and it's just everywhere. They like to focus. They believe in the kind of ideas they have. They subscribe to the humanitarian effort. Some of it is bullshit. Some of it is really real and good and really true. And you want to be able to understand what types are the really true types that are giving, and the Mercury and Aquarius types are the ones that are giving a lot of lip service and not a lot of action to what they are thinking and feeling about humanity. They'll always be for humanity. You know, humanity needs this. Humanity needs to grow. Humanity needs to evolve. You know, you get all of these types of things that they truly believe in. So, you know, you can't say they're not who they are, but they're not doing anything about it. That's a lot of the problem with the air signs. They have a lot of ideas. They should be the ones that are giving the ideas and understand that you need people that can execute these ideas. You know, you need people, these earth signs, these, I wouldn't call the water signs, but I would say earth signs that can actually make them happen. Water signs are more, you know, a gathering process where there's enough emotion and enough love gathered and enough sentiment gathered where things can get done. And then the earth signs go in there and they just do it. They do the job that needs to be done. And they don't care. If they're confident in who they are, they do it. So Mercury in Aquarius is Use them for ideas. Enjoy your ideas. Share your ideas. They're great getting groups together, getting ideas where groups come together and start talking. The idea, they're idea people, they're thought people, they're communicators. But it doesn't mean they're going to rent the space where everybody is going to have to meet and be able to have time to do that with their busy life, in their personal life and in their professional life. These are the earth signs. These are the people that are going to get it together. The Mercury in Aquarius is going to think about it and say, we need to do this. So let's just do this. So then they get people that can actually execute the job and get it done. That is when they try to do it themselves, it doesn't always come off. But they are idea people and they do have really great visionary insights as to the next movement. They are avant-garde. They are definitely, in the vogue of things and want to be at the forefront of new and untried things. And they're great at that, Mercury and Aquarius. So they should embrace that idea part of them, but they should not be saddled or let themselves be saddled with the job of actually creating the environment where something can be done. They should be the communicators and the facilitators and the lines of connection that are networking all these people that get things done. That is their greatest gift. And they'll always be about, what can we do to make this better for human beings? That's about as basic as I can put it with the Aquarian types, people that have a lot of Aquarian in their chart or ones that have Mercury there, or Moon, Sun, more, as I said before, the personal planets. And that is their gift. So they should work with the gift that they have in that way as great communicators. So moving on to the end, Mercury and Pisces. Now, I have the benefit as a person, human being, astrologer. I've done many other things than this, but of knowing many people in my life with Mercury and Pisces. And in some ways, it's been a great gift to me because I do not have Mercury and Pisces. I'll just leave it at that. But I have been surrounded by them. I have known them intimately as family members and as really strong soulic friends in my life that have Mercury in Pisces. And they have always fascinated me. I have never really understood the logic of their illogic. I have always admired their ability of inclusiveness, which has just amazed me over and over again. In my life by being around these Mercury and Pisces people. And I am always in awe when they actually get things done in the physical 3D gravity-based world that we know here on Earth. I don't know any yet that are in spirit bodies, but I'm sure that these people that I know will be in fabulous spirit bodies sooner or later. Whenever they choose, but they are amazing people. And I'm not just saying this from my own study of them theoretically and in astrology and in this manner and astronomy, looking at the Pisces constellations and all of these different things and in tarot, where there's a very strong connection to astrological interpretation. From an ancient place. Place meaning from an ancient perspective. But Mercury and Pisces, these are the people that a lot of, decades, like even last two centuries, have written off as just flaky. They don't know what they're doing. They're all over the map. Their mindset is just everywhere. And I don't give them that label. I would say perhaps in earlier times when nobody understood psychology or they didn't have more of a receptive audience as they may have had in the early 20th century and perhaps early 21st century and maybe late 19th century, I don't give them that label of, you know, they're whack jobs, they're all over the place, they can't focus their thoughts, which is a constant lament of, you know, the Mercury and Pisces type when you're studying that. You know, they can't focus. They make absolutely incredibly great musicians and art folk, you know, drawing, painting. I mean, they are completely connected deeply to the arts, whether their art is shown, whether they become icons or famous, but they are amazing at that, amazing at that. They just, sky's the limit for them and beyond the sky. But in terms of their lives, how they conduct their personal lives, like living in 3D, I mean, it's got to be the hardest thing in the world for these people to get up in the morning and go, oh, yeah, I'm in this limited space and now I got to learn how to deal with this. And okay, what else can I do with this? And let's make it fun and let's make it interesting. Kind of like Sun in Pisces, kind of like Moon in Pisces. I got to make some of this. And it's good if they have fire signs in their chart and earth signs, because it balances out all the water that this brings and the thinking, Mercury and Pisces. But they are really open to so many wonderful ways of envisioning human evolvement and human life and human expression that it's worth knowing them if they're on that frequency. Now, there are many that have this particular signature, along with other things, of course, in their chart, that become completely disenchanted with their life because of their bio upbringing, their bio families, their extended families, too many drugs, too many this, too much excess here and there, sad, depressed, blah, 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 all of these things that are connected to, you know, the Pisces type, which is the moon or the sun or Mercury or Mars, all of that, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, blah, 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 in my opinion. Yes, they can become depressed. They can go through very dark periods of confusion. But they always emerge if they're on a frequency to evolve and they're interested in that in their life. They emerge with some of the best ways in which we can get beyond the boundaries of human limitation in science, in philosophy, in art, in music. They really do live in the stars. They live in this magical place that isn't, it's not Disneyland, okay? Although that's rather fun sometimes, but it's a magical place where we must see beyond just the human factor and beyond our limitation. It's a must for them. It's an incentive from their soul. It's a soul process. So Mercury in Pisces just gives it an extra flourish if they have Sun in Mercury in Pisces, let's say, or Moon in Pisces, or those kinds of combinations. It's an impetus where, you know, it's not enough for me just to stay in this area. I've got to move on. Sometimes it's hard in the early days when they're younger because they're confused. But as they get older and they're able to face reality more and more in this restricted space they have to work in, they get better at imagining and creating what they really want. And I've been a, you know, I've luckily had a front row seat to all of these people. And I'm like thinking to myself, why am I around so many Mercury and Pisces people? I love, it's amazing. I love talking to them. I love being with them. But it's like, where are these people going? What is going on in their head? You know, what is happening here? And they continue to amaze me. Luckily for them, they have other, the ones I have known have earth planets and they have the fire and it's not just a water logging of so many, water planets in their chart, which can be definitely, as I say, water logging or swampy is a kind of low end word to use for it. Or there it's totally uplifting like Edgar Cayce had and a lot of these, psychics had, a lot of incredible uplifting, you know, water signatures in their chart. So Mercury and Pisces, I never count them out. And there are so many people that go, oh God, my boyfriend, my friend, they're just Mercury and Pisces. What do we do with this? You know, if they're into this, if they're into studying this or observing it. And I just say hang with it and love them and embrace them, because they really, when it gets down to real life and understanding humanity and human beings in the deepest sense, these Mercury and Pisces people and Pisces sun and moon, they really get it. They really get it. And they don't say it. They don't often verbalize it, because that's not their way. Articulating it. That's Gemini and Aquarius and, you know, Virgos. And, you know, they want to talk about it all the time. These Mercury and Pisces people, they just are living it. They're just there for the person, and they're there for themselves. When they begin to embrace who they are and love who they are, and love this sense of oneness and imagination, they begin to understand that, you know, I can be of real value not only to my own life and progress, but to others around me. And we can all move together in a progressive fashion. And progressive, I mean that from a soulic place. I mean, I don't mean it from, you know, the usual politics kind of thing. It's a soul place, progressing. You're progressing yourself. And in my opinion, personally, if you do not progress your inner life, your reviewed life, who you are, I doubt you can ever, on an outward level, progress yourself politically if you want to make a splash in that area or you want to make a statement. You have to have an inner sense of who you are to actually really hit the mark in the world progressively, and really make a difference in that way. I think Martin Luther King, Maya Angelou, all of these people in this area, Abraham Lincoln in his own way, in that horribly restricted, you know, life he had to live, and in that terribly difficult time. And these are just a few people. There's many others. Malcolm X in his own way, and he was more of the warrior, which was fabulous because it really juxtaposed Martin Luther King. It was a great combo, actually. You need to fight and you need to love at the same time. You know, it's not one or the other here. You have to fight for who you are and your rights. And you also have to love. You have to be inclusive. So Mercury and Pisces, they really kind of blend all of this at the latter part. Like, we're all one. Hey, man, you know, we're all one. That's how they are. I mean, that's sort of like a inner part of what's going on with them. And they continue, as I observe for many, many years, these charts, they continue because they're always showing up in my life. I mean, it's amazing. And they amaze me. So Mercury through the signs, the gift of Mercury, let's say, to complete this with in Pisces, is to amaze yourself with what you can do. And I would add sun and moon in Pisces with this signature in your chart. But amaze yourself and continue to embrace yourself, your soul self, and amaze others and be with them in their human space. You are, you are truly inclusive in that way, and empathetic. And the ones who are lost more in the Mercury and Pisces miasma, I can't focus my thoughts. They're more into getting away with drugs or whatever they do, you know, to get away from just, I can't really express who I am. You know, these are a lot of frustrated artists and frustrated anybody, you know, in any situation. If you can get beyond it, try. Get some people that can help you to get beyond it. Get in real life. Get beyond it. Move beyond it. You've got something to offer, so frickin' offer it. Get down to it and offer it. So for current situations, events, we had new moon in Aries on April 1st, and that conjoined Chiron, and it did conjoin Mercury in Aries, and that's when more of the situation in terms of the world and the incredible difficulty and horribleness going on in this Ukraine-Russia situation And I wouldn't call it a war. I would call it a rampant invasion of another country, a naked invasion of that. Ukraine didn't start a war. Russia just invaded it. So I don't know who's listening to this, but that's kind of the reality of the situation. And I do not attribute this to the Russian people at all. I would just say that your leader, did this for whatever impetus pushed him to this. It's not about you. It's simply about the leaders we have. And so Ukraine had to fight back. I mean, who wouldn't? So that was going on and still is to a certain degree, although the moon has moved on into Taurus. And today, and for a few hours, it is conjunct the current North Node in 22 Taurus. So again, these are very grave situations we are in. The reality on the ground is very difficult. Even though these particular planets are trining Pluto, it means that the world community is understanding the gravity of this situation. Not just a few countries here and there, but the world community. Whether or not they're in NATO or the EU or whatever, people, humanity is understanding that, this is totally awful. Everything is awful about this. And the other situation is Venus and Mars in late Aquarius and Saturn are all together. So again, once again, with Saturn there and Pluto, as I last said, we are entering and we are dealing with grave situations in these matters. And I dare say grave is a terrible pun. It's not something that I just happen to think of, but it's the metaphor is there. And again, Zelensky, this leader of Ukraine, all of these planets are not by degree necessarily close to his sun in Aquarius, but Venus, Mars, and his Saturn return, I believe, a Saturn aspect is going on with his sun sign in Aquarius. So he is definitely in the mix, and he's holding up his end of taking care of his country in any way he can, and he's able to. And being there as an inspiration, he's not letting that go. Again, he's doing the Aquarian thing. Yes, he does care about his country. He is the president. But he's also doing it in a way that creates a sense of humanity for the world around all of this. You'll notice it in the way he talks. He's not just talking to plead for help, which of course he should be doing and he is doing. But he is talking about the inhumanity to man again, once again. And the U.S. is no different with the situations that we had to deal with after 9/11, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but we have all of our problems as well in this area. And, we must work with the world community. The U.S. must do that. We can't have any kind of leader that is not working with many different parties to end this situation. We must do that. We cannot be running around alone saying, we're going to save the world. That scene is over. That is over. So Biden and people around him are doing the best that they can at this juncture within a limited, universe of information, being able to be put out because people's lives are at risk here. They're doing what they can to work within the European community, within NATO and all of this. But it is very clear that the world is really on notice here. These are the prevailing energies that are going on. They are very intense, and we are all experiencing them in one way or the other. I mean, if you're an oligarch or a rich person in America, or whatever, you super rich, Bezos, Elon Musk, whatever. I mean, they've done some good things. They've done some weird things. Maybe you're not dealing with any of this, but that's the point. We have to get to a point of people that care, that, that humanity is the most important part of this, not whether Elon Musk gets another, great idea and sends somebody else to Pluto or Jupiter or whatever. It's great. I mean, I'm glad, he's thinking that way. I'm not dissing that. But it really is about what we are dealing with here on the human plane, on the plane of humanity. On the earth plane, we're here. And unless somebody comes up with an idea to disappear, not through nuclear means, but, create a spirit situation here, which does not happen unless you evolve. We need to deal with the inclusiveness and to understand that these are atrocities and we have to keep dealing with them until we really understand that it's just not working and it will never work in this way. So these are the prevailing energies, not too, you know, optimistic, not really fun, but in your personal lives, you can still enjoy your lives and have fun and enjoy and also give at the same time. We cannot be all things to all people. It is impossible. We can try, and it's a exercise in futility. Even movie stars and celebrities, you know, they all go through that crisis of, Jesus, what more can I give to these people? They're collective beings, they're icons, and they give whatever the persona they are projecting. And that's what they give, and it's great, and it's interesting, and all of that. But we, on a personal level, nobody can be all things to all people. We must understand who we are soulically so that we can understand the path that we need to move ahead on and the people that come into our sphere and that we attract into our sphere and how we do things. So next time, I think I'm going to talk about the charts in terms of the where planets are located in the upper hemisphere or the lower, in the bowl chart, in the bucket chart, where planets are situated in people's charts. Like some have a collection of planets on the, you know, on the left hemisphere, on the lower chart. There's the bucket chart. There's the upper hemisphere of the chart and those types of things and how we can, how people can understand the process of how these planets are positioned in terms of their life experience and some of their professional and personal goals. So we'll talk about that. Until then, be well and carry on and stay human.